How many of you are familiar, just a side note here, how many of you are familiar with the Gideon movement? Yes? Raise your hand. How many of you in here are actually Gideons or part of the auxiliary? Okay. As I thought about, is Chris one of the four that came that one morning?
No.
No, he's not. So this is something, is it one of your students? Okay, I'm excited about that because we also talked about it. Was it Anthony that received the Bible too recently? And we're praying for him. I think that's exciting. And if you listen, I've been to some of the Gideon dinners, and I've listened to some of the testimonies of how God's word through the Gideons, the testimonies of people that came to know the Lord by strange circumstances of a Gideon Bible just happening to be there. And it always impacted me about the word of God and how exciting it is to see God's word work in the lives. So pray for Chris and for Anthony and those others. That is exciting to me to see that God is going to be using his word. So pray for that, that God could work and speak to their hearts and their lives. I think that's a very exciting thing. Speaking of the word, turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to be reading together beginning at verse 25. We're talking this morning about the good husband. The good husband. I think this is practical help for all of us. And if you're not married and you are planning on being married, this is also good for you guys as well. But it's the way in which God has designed the marriage, and especially for the husband and his responsibilities. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. He goes on to say in verse 32, this mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each individual among you also love his own wife, even as himself. So Paul begins this by saying this is part of the body of Christ. It's a mystery, but the marriage is a picture of the union between Christ and his church. Father, we pray that you would open up our hearts to your word, that you would help us as men to understand our role and our responsibility, and that, Father, you would give us the enablement by your Holy Spirit to love in that way. In Jesus' name, amen. The good husband. This morning, the question that I have for you at the very beginning is this question. What is the most important thing that a man needs to know to not be just a good husband, but a great husband? We're going to kick it up here, guys. Not just good husband, but a great husband. Perhaps we should take a lesson, I think, from, and I really, you know, this is one of those things where you think, man, I wish I'd have thought of that. But Winston Churchill on how to score points with your wife. Very, very interesting little story. Winston Churchill had once attended a very formal dinner in London, and he was there with his wife. And at that dinner, the dignitaries who were attending were asked this question ahead of time to be able to give an answer. If you could not be who you are, who would you like to be? Well, now everybody's really curious, especially about Churchill. I mean, here's this elderly statesman. He's in his later years, and they're all waiting with curiosity to see what he was going to say. Now, Churchill was seated next to his beloved wife, Clemmy. So they're all watching them to find out what this man is going to say. When it finally came turn to Churchill to give his remarks, that the older gentleman, and he was seated there in the dinner, he was the last respondent to this question. So all the eyes are on this man. He rose and he gave his answer. He said, if I could not be who I am, I would most like to be. And it's at this point that guy, classic, paused. He took his wife Clemmie's hand. He said, I would most like to be Lady Churchill's second husband. Oh. Boy, wouldn't you like to be able to do that, guys? Wouldn't that be wonderful? But you get the point. What are we to do? What's the most important thing that we need to know to be not just a good husband, but a great husband? Here it is. Husbands, love your wives. Love your wives. Paul says, husbands, love your wives. Bottom line right there. The gates opened up. There it is. We have an answer. Husbands, you are to love your wives. You know, what it really means is this. You love them. You love them. You love them. Women need to be loved. They do. They need to be loved. They like someone who pays attention to them. They like someone who treats them as someone who is special and cares about them. A wife needs a lot of love. That's why God says you're to love your wives. Men, if you want to succeed as a husband, you must commit to loving your wife. So the question that we have is, how do we do that? What does that look like? Well, Paul gives us some pictures here. Love your wives how? As Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. We are to love our wives just as Jesus loves us, his church. It's to be a constant love. It's to be a very passionate love. And it's to be a pursuing love, a never-ending kind of a love. It's to be that which Jesus loved as we unconditionally. We are to love our wives also unconditionally. I think it's time for a definition. When you look at the word that Jesus uses here, this word love, I mean Paul uses this word love, it's the word that we all know as agape or agapeo. Okay? It's agape love. And we have been looking at, I need that book. We've been looking at love, agape love, and by the way, Don, we finally finished it up today. Agape love from a book by the author of James MacDonald. And he had a really, what I call a good, succinct definition and an illustration of what this kind of love looks like. And here's what MacDonald says. As you may know, there are three Greek words in the scripture for the word love. I want to focus on the word agape because that's the word Paul uses in the New Testament. At the time the scripture was written, almost 2,000 years ago now, this agape love was very rare and seldom was used in that society. People used the more common terms eros, which refers to sensual love, or phileo, which describes a brotherly relationship. But the term that they hardly ever used in the New Testament times is the one we see most frequently in the scriptures, agape. Agape means a selfless love, giving love, you before me love. It describes love as an act of will, and he makes a very powerful statement. It's a choice that I make. So that is agape love. That's what it's all about. It's a very powerful statement about agape love. Husbands, you and I are to agape love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So here's a kind of a definition of agape love. It's a self-sacrificing, caring commitment. Notice the word commitment. I'm choosing to commit myself to it. That shows or demonstrates itself in seeking what? The highest good of the one love. So as husbands, my love is to be always seeking the best and the best in my wife's life for her. I am to be doing that constantly. Now, I have a disclaimer here. Guys, and anybody here, while we're here on this earth, this kind of love in its fullest and most perfecting way that Jesus did and the way he loved, because we have our that old sinful nature, we're not going to be able to always do that, are we? Do you always love agape love in your marriage? Anybody here, can you raise your hand? If you can, if you do, I want to come and talk to you, and I'll give you all kinds of money to be able to give a counseling session up here. No, we can't. We can't do that. It's never going to happen because we have that old nature in there. But we can have the potential from God's power to be able to live that out in some measure because we have Christ's own nature living within us. We have Jesus who lives in us. We have the Holy Spirit who gives us the power to be able to live that way. So God does provide for us the ability to love our wives with a measure of Christ's own love. So when he calls us to love our wives this way, he gives us the power to be able to do that if we would commit ourselves to that. Now, husbands, we're not commanded. We are not commanded to love your wife because of what she is or who she is. Now, we are, however, to admire her. We're to admire her and to be attracted to her beauty. We're to be attracted to her personality, to her wit, to her kindness, whatever it might be. There are things about your wife that you are to be attracted to, and you are to love those qualities and those virtues. But let's be real. The beauty over the years may fade. The physical may change. And occasionally, the qualities may not pass quality control. Love that can't look beyond these negatives is fickle. And it's that kind of love that people place, and men especially, place in their wives as that beautiful, vivacious, outgoing, whatever she might be, that changes over time. And if I'm in love with that in that person, that's fickle love. That's why a lot of marriages fail. Because there comes a point in that marriage, in that relationship, where the husband kind of takes a look and says, you know what? I didn't sign up for this. I didn't sign up for this. And that's when the dangerous point is. That's the dangerous point in your marriage. If you get to that point in your marriage, there's the opportunity where you can begin to flirt with the other women around you in your life. That's where you're going to be in trouble, and you've got to be very careful about that. If you get to that point, you must be very careful about setting yourself up by being involved, even in the most harmfulest appearing ways with other women. Guard your heart, guys. Guard your heart. So God gives us that ability. So it's not always going to be there. Now, that's a fickle love. And so what happens is you have problems in the marriages. The kind of love that we're talking about, though, is the kind of love that Christ has for his church. What is that? It's the kind of love that every Christian husband ought to have for his wife. That's what Paul is talking about. What's it look like? There are several things that Paul talks about here. The first is that it is a sacrificial love. Notice this. Husbands, love your wives how? Just as Christ loved the church and what? Gave himself up for her. That's sacrificial love. Jesus gave himself up for his bride, as Jeff talked about earlier, his church. He died for him to himself. He died to himself for us. He emptied himself. That's what we must do in the same way for our wives. God did not love the world and send his son to redeem it because it was worthy of that love. No, we're not. We were sinners. It was not that way. The world actually rejected Jesus. It turned its back upon him. And it did not look to him at all as to their Savior. But did Jesus relent? Did he stop because of that? No. His love drove him further and further to the cross. Agape love does whatever is required and does not count the cost or what it might be for me out of the deal. As husbands, here's the key for sacrificial love. We are to put our own likes, our own desires, oftentimes your own opinions, guys, your preferences, and your welfare aside if that is what's required to meet her needs. I'm talking about legitimate needs. If that's what's required, then that's what you need to do. We die to ourselves as Jesus did in order to be able to live for our wives. That is where your submission, we've been talking about the foundation is submission. That's where your submission comes in. You die to yourself for the sake of your wife. Do we do that perfectly? No, we don't. But that's supposed to be the attitude with which we are to live with our wives. Now, we've all got passions and we've all got interests, guys. For some of us, it's golf. Some of us, it might be fishing. Some of us, it might be hunting. Some of us, it might be riding motorcycles, etc., etc. But here is the test, a test of your love, is if you are at times willing to give up the pursuit of those passions for the sake of your wife. If you're willing to give up your interests for the sake of hers. That's the test. Now, how does that mean for your life practically? Well, practically speaking, at times it may mean I'm not going to go golfing. I'm not going to go hunting. I'm not going to go fishing. But instead, you might choose to go shopping with your wife. I'm not even going to ask in here how many of you do that. I'm not even going to ask you if you like to shop, because I know that the majority of guys don't enjoy doing that. But you know what? It isn't that you're going there to get something out for yourself. You may not like it, but you know what? You're spending time with her. Now, most of the time when you go shopping, your wife will just want to go off by herself and do some shopping. Okay, that's okay. That's what you say. Well, now wait a minute. You tell me, Pastor, I'm supposed to go shopping. When I go shopping, she says, you go shopping, I'll meet you someplace. That does, what's that? That doesn't make any difference. The fact that you're going with her is the key. The fact that you were willing to give up what it was you wanted to do speaks volumes for her. Do you remember, wives, the last week we talked about the fact that you're supposed to respect your husband? Well, you know how that respect comes, guys? It comes because we are doing those things and she respects us for doing it. That's where her respect for you comes. So you have a lot of responsibility about how your wife is going to live out her role and her responsibility in her life. So that's what it means. Jesus came about. He did that. We need to die for ourselves. Those interests are there. What are some other things you can do practically? Well, you can go shopping. You can help her with the chores around the house. How many of us have faucets that have leaked for 2 months? And she's been, you can tell, it's been driving her nuts. And she may say something to you nicely at first about the faucet. And then it becomes a little bit more pronounced. And you know what? Then what you do is you fix the faucet. And it only takes you 2 minutes. And she gives you that look. You mean to tell me it only took you 2 minutes and I've been after you for 2 months? Doesn't make any difference. You fix the faucet. Because you're thinking about her. You're thinking about what she needs. Planting shrubs, washing, the list goes on and on and on. Those are practical ways in which you can give up your time in order to be able to spend time with her. Now, here's the key. That is especially true. Do something like that, especially when you see and sense in her that she's going through a very difficult time. Maybe she's at her wit's end, and she's really having a very bad day. So here's the question, gentlemen. How well do you know your wife? Are you attentive to your wife? Do you understand? Many of us have cars, man. There's nothing, you know, you're driving down the road and some of you are expert at this. You know that there's something wrong with that car. It just sounds different and you're attentive to it. And then you look and you find out what it is because you want that car to purr just perfectly. Do you know what? That's the same way in which we're supposed to be attentive to our wives. We need to be sensitive to what she's going through. Now, most of you guys in this room I know are very sensitive, and that shouldn't be any problem, okay? But that's the issue. Are you being attentive to your wife? Do you observe things? Do you see what she needs? Years ago in the Midwest, the story was told of a farmer and his wife who were lying in bed during a storm when suddenly there was a funnel of a tornado. And this thing lifted the roof right off of their house and sucked their bed away with them still in it. There they are, they're flying around in this tornado. The wife began to cry. I would too. The farmer called to her that this was not a time to cry. She called back that she couldn't help it. She was so happy. It was the first time they'd been out together in 20 years. Okay, you get the point. You get the point, guys. Be attentive to your wife. How much time do you spend taking her out on an impromptu thing? You know, we got Valentine's Day, you got Mother's Day, you got her birthday, you got Christmas. You got all kinds of different things. What about taking her out and doing something when it's unexpected? That shows that you're paying attention to her, especially when she's going through a tough time. So be sensitive to what she's going through. So that's the sacrificial part, being willing to do that, give it up. The next thing that we're going to take a look at is what Paul calls the sanctifying love. Read with me verses 26 and 27, because this is the text. He did that in order he might be able to sanctify her. That means to set apart. Okay, set apart. Having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that's the salvation that we receive in Christ, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she, there it is, she should be holy and blameless. Jesus did all of that, and he is now working in the body of Christ. He works in you and me as believers through the power of his word, that transforming us more and more into the image of himself. That's called growth. That's what he is doing in your life individually. That's what he's doing in the church. He wants us as a body of Christ to be able to grow in him. That's the picture that Paul is giving here. He relates it now to the marriage. So that he might sanctify her, set her apart, what? That she should be holy and blameless. Christ forgave us for our sin and washed us and cleansed us through his blood. But we still have that carnal nature, that sinful nature. And we're not going to be completely free of that until we see Jesus in glory. But now, during this process, we're being sanctified, set apart. And hopefully, we're becoming more like Jesus until we're presented to himself in all of the glory that he gives us. So, now it's related back to you husbands again. Here's where it gets personal. Husbands are responsible to help their wives what? Become all they can be in Jesus Christ. You must first, if you're going to do that, you've got to first yourself be men in whom the word of God is richly dwelling. That's from Colossians. That you be a man whose the word of God is dwelling in you richly. In other words, that means what? You need to be spending time in the word of God. How much time do you spend every day in the word of God? How much time are you reading? You can't expect to grow in Christ if you're not in his word. And we make excuses for not doing that. But men, if you're going to be the husband, if I'm going to be the husband that I need to be, and we all fall short, we need to be spending time, we need to be allowing God's word to permeate our lives. Because then you will be the man of God you should be for your wife's sake. Then you will be able to help her be everything she can be in Christ. So we have that responsibility. You've got to first be growing in Christ. If you're doing that as your loving head, then as you're doing that, which is what Paul's talking about here, that he might sanctify her, that he might present her in all her glory, having no spot. In other words, helping her not to be defiled by the values of the world system. I've got to be able to protect my wife from the things that might be a negative influence in her life. As an example, protecting her from the contamination of the world's values and influence. Here's a very practical way. You're watching television together. You see something that comes up that's not really the most appropriate material. Do you have the courage at that moment to be able to turn the TV off and to say, you know, I really think this is not appropriate for us to watch? Do you have the courage to do that? That's what the sanctifying part is that you're to be doing with your wife. You're protecting her. You're watching her. And other areas in the life that might be bringing in things that would be able to be a negative impact for her and her life. And you know what you also need to do? You also need to be encouraging your wife to be able to grow in the Lord. You need to help her in her walk with the Lord. Giving her opportunities to go to maybe a women's conference, a Bible conference. Giving her opportunity to be able to go to a small group Bible study or to be involved in some of the activities of the church. That may mean if you're a husband with young children, giving her that night out and then taking care of the kids yourself. Even though you've had a hard day and you're willing to just sit back and kick off your shoes and watch TV, maybe you need to say, you know what, honey, I want to commit to you to be able to help you. And I want you to enjoy being with some of the other gals. So I want you to take off every Tuesday night or whatever it is. I want you to be a part of that. That's a practical way in which it works. Here's the key. You have to do this, man. You have to foster or create an environment for her where she sees Christ-likeness lived out in your life, and then she's growing in Christ as well. How much time do you spend together praying? I'm not saying that you have to pray all the time together, but do you spend time together praying? We all fall short of that. How much time do you spend maybe having a devotional time with just you and your wife, reading through a book, reading through something? We don't do it all the time, but Ann and I try to do that, and she generally is the one that challenges me. And we're now reading through a book about, and believe it or not, it's a man that was part of the Disciples of Christ Church years ago, a man by the name of Eldridge. And he and his wife were missionaries to Africa. It's a wonderful book. And it takes you back to how the gospel was being presented in Africa. So it helps you. So do you do that? Spending time together like that in your life, fostering that environment. So that's the sanctifying love. You got sacrificial love and you got sanctifying love. And lastly, love as you love yourself. Oh, this is where it really gets personal. It really gets personal. Read verses 28 and 29 with me. Husbands ought also to love their own wives, what? As their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. No one ever hates or his own flesh, but does what? Nourishes and cherishes it. Just as Christ also does the church. That's the aspect of loving yourself. You know, that's the key right there. No one ever hated his own flesh. Let's go back there. But nourishes and cherishes it. Okay, guys, we know when you're hungry, you know when you're what? You're tired. You know when you've got some things in your life that you need to take care of. We take care of ourselves, don't we? We will do that. When we're hungry, what do? I'm hungry. No, you get something to eat. Maybe a Big Mac or something. When we're tired, we take a nap. Many of us also, we take care of the other things in our lives that we would like to have. We love to buy big boy toys. We all love big boy toys, let's face it. Okay? They make us happy. Boats, cars, golf clubs, fishing poles, whatever it might be. But here's the key. Men, we need to be aware of the needs of our wives just as we are to the needs of our own body and our own wants and desires. And here's the promise. If you nourish and cherish your wife, it will result in happiness for both of you. If you are nourishing her and you're cherishing her, cherish means to care for, as a mother does her little newborn child. You cherish her. If you will do that, you will be happy. Spend time with her, compliment her, encourage her, love her, and take care of her as you would yourself. You take care of her as you would yourself. That's what Paul's saying. So, guys, here's the other thing too, and I'm being honest. I know that at times our wives are a mystery. Can't always figure them out, can we? Now, do you think you're not a mystery? I mean, believe me, the wives have a hard time with us at times, don't they? They can't figure us out. And how many times do we keep doing the same old thing that we know aggravates them and irritates them, and yet we still do it, right? So we're both mysteries to each other. But you know your wife is a mystery. But we need to be what? Tuned into their needs. That's what Paul's saying here. As much as we are to our own. When she needs strength, you need to give her strength. When she needs encouragement, you need to give her encouragement. You know what, guys? Sometimes, and this is, sometimes it's hard for a guy. Sometimes that may be as simple as just a little hug. Just taking her in your arms and holding her when you know she's having a bad day. Just give her a hug. As God supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, as husbands, we need to be working on supplying our wives' needs as well. So here's the conclusions. To be a great husband, not just a good one, but to be a great husband, make sure your role as husband is based on this agape love of Jesus Christ. If this is true and operating in your marriage, you will succeed, even though the times may not always be easy, and your marriage will be a whole lot more enjoyable than it could ever be. Love for your wives must be a conscious choice, a conscious choice. Even if your wife is not acting in a loving manner, God made a conscious choice to love you and me when we weren't lovely. I like this illustration as our roles as husbands in marriage. Husbands, here's the key. You and I are the thermostat, and your wife is the thermometer. If you set the temperature in your marriage as nastiness, that's what you will get back from your wife. You're the thermostat. You set it to nasty, the thermometer is going to be reading nasty. If you love your wife, and if you set the temperature in your marriage to love your wife unconditionally and passionately as Jesus loved you, it will change her, and she will become more lovely in her character and reflect back to you the love she receives. Here's the challenge. You want to be loved by her? Then begin by loving her. That's how to be a good, no, I'll say this, a great husband. Father, we pray that you would, by your Holy Spirit, help us as husbands to live with our wives in such a way that we agape love them unconditionally, looking out for their good, loving them as we love our own selves. And that, Lord, you would give us that ability and strength to be able to do that, that in turn she might respect and see in us Christ's likeness, and that it would draw your hearts together to your wives as it's never done before. Help us to do that, Lord, we pray by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.